Life is a journey. What's your story? Radio St. Pete Insider has an amazing story. Alexis Cole is with us today. She has been called one of the great voices of today by the Swing Journal Gold Disc and was a winner of the New York Jazzmobile and Montreux Jazz Festival vocal competitions. She will be performing at the St. Pete Jazz Festival April 2nd, 7:30. Welcome, welcome, Alexis. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Thanks, Annette, for having me on the air. This is wonderful. Yes, I'm, you know, a performer and an educator, and I've been here in St. Pete now since August, working on a house that I bought to have as an investment and to be part of the St. Pete community, even though I don't live here. My family's nearby. I'm from Fort Lauderdale originally, born in New York, grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and my family moved to Sun City Center. And for the last few years, I've been coming down to play with the Helios Jazz Orchestra, and I couldn't help but notice that St. Pete is amazing, and I wanted to be here and be part of it. So I made some shifts in my life and had some money for a down payment and bought my very first house here in St. Petersburg.
We often say, our friend Charlie says, that St. Pete is Music City, and you, as a New York City person, as a person who's performed all over the country, how do you see this city as an emerging music city?
Well, I just feel the creativity of St. Pete and the sort of boundless energy that it has carries over into the music scene as well. And also there's a friendliness here among the musicians and a camaraderie. And of course, David Manson is the first person that I really met here in the St. Pete music scene. He is such a force to be reckoned with his Emit nonprofit. All the music that he brings here is so wonderful. His music is wonderful, his Brazilian band. I'm a big fan of theirs. But I've gone down many times to the jam session at the Hangar. And everywhere, I went last night to a jam session up in Tampa at Ella's Americana Cafe. And everywhere I go, I've been very welcomed and made to feel part of the community. So it's just wonderful.
And you have a new CD. I'll tell us a little bit about that. We're going to hear a little bit of one of the cuts from it, Sky Blossom, in a little bit.
Sure.
Social Call from Sky Blossom.
Yeah. So I was in the West Point Band with the United States Army for 6.5 years, and from 2009 to 2015. And during that time, many arrangements were written for me to sing with the band, specifically for my voice by our music director, Scott Archangel. So that album is a recording of all of those arrangements. Some of the cuts are of the actual big band, because we recorded them, and then some of them are with another band, which, if we had more time, I'd tell you the story of that. But the arrangements were all tailor-written for me, and it was such a labor of love, and I'm really glad that we got to make an album of it.
How did you come up with the name Sky Blossom?
The term is a term that troops on the ground use when they see the troops from the air coming to give the support. They say, oh, that's the Sky Blossom. So, you know, my musical journey in the Army was full of people who helped me and guided my way and wrote this music for me. So in that same way, it sort of harkens to my military journey.
And we thank you for your service. That is so important. Tell us a little bit about who influences you in music, what you're listening to.
Sure. I have my, you know, pantheon of goddesses, you know, at the top are Ella and Sarah and Billy. And the next tier down is Carmen and Shirley Horn and and the next tier down, perhaps Helen Merrill and Sheila Jordan and... Julie London are some of my favorites.
You've mentioned some names of people that are overlooked, and I'm glad to hear that you're shining a light on them. So tell us a little bit about the vocal class. You're offering a free vocal class on, I believe, April 2nd at 7:30. Nope, that's
April 1st,
excuse me.
12:30?
Yes, 12:30 at Gibbs Campus. Tell us a little bit about that. It's free to the public. And what can people, singers, songwriters, professionals, or emerging artists learn?
Well, as much as I'm a performer, I'm perhaps equally known now as an educator. My student, Samara Joy, just won the Grammy for Best New Artist. And her partner is Kendrick, is a saxophone player from St. Petersburg. So she happens her way. This happens down here often and loves the St. Pete community as well. And I also started the jazzvoice.com, which is an online educational community for for vocalists, adults, amateurs, for everybody. And I'm the artistic director of the Virginia Beach Vocal Jazz Summit. And also I'm soon starting a summer camp, a week-long summer camp. So I have myself equally invested now as an educator. And just yesterday I did a masterclass with the vocalists at USF up in Tampa. So it's something I'm so passionate about. It's a lot akin to performing. You try to give information, but also to touch people's hearts and give it in a way that they can digest it. So I guess people, to answer your question, people coming to the class can, even if they're not singers, they could expect to get a peek behind the curtain and see what goes on to make the magic. And if they are singers, hopefully they'll get some great sort of takeaways, tips and tricks, because I love to do both, to inspire, but also to give practical advice, because, you know, that's my Jewish upbringing, you know, do it this way, do it that way. Now I've got a great outlet for all that advice that we always want to give to help people on their way.
No chicken soup will be served at the, but you should drink chicken soup for the voice. So tell us a little bit about your musical journey. You come from a musical family, and how did you get started on this?
Sure. Well, I've always been a singer and a performer. Actually, I consider myself a performer first. When my mother picked me up, she was never satisfied with any preschool. And so she transferred me around from week to week till she could find one that was good enough. And then, you know, she picked me up and I was standing on top of the tree stump, tap dancing and singing for all the kids. I guess that was how I made new friends, even at two. So, but my father, my parents split up when I was one, actually. And I have good relationships with all of them, luckily. But my father is a singer and pianist and mostly a composer, really incredible composer. And my mother's mother is also a singer and pianist. She was not a composer, but she knew all the standards and she played them and sang them with such grace and such a spoken approach. She had a very low voice. She sang in the tenor range, and or by the time I was born, maybe earlier in her life. That happens to women's voices. But I was just so inspired by her. And then also I feel like I got the sort of DNA from my dad, because I didn't really grow up much with him. But then later in life when we reconnected, we realized we had so much in common in our songwriting and like sort of musical aesthetic. So he's such an incredible performer, just really full of life. He doesn't do it full time, just as a hobby and with church. But I've been working with him the last few years and we're almost finished. We just got together 2 weeks ago to start to wrap up a project of having all of his songs transcribed. Because his, you know, he doesn't write the music so well down. And then if it's not written down, who can play it but him? And I feel like when he passes, everybody's going to be looking at me, Alexis, what did Dad write? And I'm not going to be able to read his chicken scratch. So we started it when he was 70, and now he is 74. And we're wrapping. I gave him a 3-year grant to work on his music.
That's wonderful.
So now we're editing everything, just making sure it's right. And it's such a wonderful process. I'm so glad it's bringing us close together and also helping him to get this music out in the world, which really deserves to have a little light shed on it.
You know, that's a similar story to A.J. Croce talking about Jim Croce when I interviewed him. He said that he had never played his father's music, but that playing his father's music and playing songs that his father loved brought him back together with his father long after his father had passed. So that is a wonderful legacy project. I hope that, will you play any of his songs at your concert?
No,
this one, but there'll be a show. Yeah. I bet there'll be a show coming.
Yes, I mentioned we're going to be in Brattleboro, and last time I played up in that area, I didn't mention it on air yet, sorry, but last time I played up there, he and I did a song together in the middle of a big band concert because it was nearby where he lives. So hopefully one of these days he'll be here in St. Pete. He has a place in Orlando, so he comes this way. He mostly lives in Saratoga Springs in New York.
That is just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So you do have some incredible performances coming in addition to April 2nd, 7:30, Alexis Cole and Helios Jazz Orchestra at the Palladium Side Door. You can go to the Palladium to get tickets for that as part of the 2024 St. Petersburg Jazz Festival. I see that you're in New York City at the very prestigious 54 Below, May 21st. The College of Worcester with a big band in April. Chicago, May 11th, Winter's Jazz Club, another incredible venue. And then July 20th, as you mentioned, the big band show in Brattleboro, Vermont. Let me ask you this. As you travel, and you go, are there places to play jazz and perform jazz? You know, a lot of the radio stations are gone. Chuck Niles in Los Angeles, the people who used to play jazz. Where is jazz more popular in Europe these days? Or do you see that there's a renaissance of opportunities now and venues? Where do you see, is jazz still getting the light?
I don't have an altogether optimistic picture to share with you, unfortunately. But I have to say, you know, having started my online community, the community is still together. And just like online has brought people together in many other areas, it's the same with music. And I don't necessarily know if concerts online are here to stay. I haven't been inspired. I did one at the beginning of the pandemic. I did a few of them over the course. But jazz is quite alive in every town, that every little town that I go to. I'm amazed and inspired by the people who, like the clubs, like the Sarasota Jazz Club and Tampa Jazz Club, that are grassroots efforts to keep the music alive. I don't know if it's so profitable to be presenting jazz, but people like the owner of Winter's Jazz Club, who used to be an office furniture upholstery salesman, he quit his job and started that club, and he was able to carry through the pandemic and everything, and so people can make it work. But I think that the grassroots effort is there, the passion is there, but it needs the altruism of the patrons to help it to continue. And it's the same when we know you don't need CDs anymore, but when you come to my concert and you buy the CDs, it's a donation to helping the music that gets posted on Spotify and all that to actually happen.
That's right. And Radio St. Pete is all about local music and local hosts and local. We hope that when you come back and might consider doing a jazz host show, maybe once a month, we'd love to have you. I want to mention a few other concerts that are coming up for the St. Pete Jazz Festival. And a tip of the hat to David Manson, who is St. Pete College, April 3rd, 7:30, Mauricio Rodriguez and the MJR Latin Project at the Palladium Side Door. April 4th, 7:30, Marcus Gottschlick Trio, a Steinway artist, at the Music Center of St. Petersburg College on the St. Petersburg Gibbs campus. April 5th, Osam Do Jazz, David Manson's group with Rafael Pereira and Jose Valentino Ruiz will be at the Arts Exchange stage at WADA, and so will Radio St. Pete. We'll be live streaming that night. Thank you. It is free. That particular one is free. The rest go to support local artists and the St. Pete Jazz Festival nonprofit. April 6th, 7:30, the Hot Club SRQ performs at the Museum of American Arts and Crafts Movement. Django, if you like Django Reinhardt and Gypsy Jazz, that's for you. So, you know, I do believe I've listened to Alexis online, jazzvoices.com. Make a note of that. Note her website. Alexis, what do you want to say to our listeners about what they can expect at your concert April 2nd, 7:30 at the Palladium?
Sure. It's, big band, high energy, lots of fun. These are a number of arrangements that are actually on my new upcoming, not released yet, project that I did with the Taipei Jazz Orchestra that's going to be released probably this summer. So that'll be a lot of, it'll be fun. It'll be a good time and have a lot of variety of texture and color.
So if you're looking for world-class jazz, it's the St. Pete Jazz Festival. And now just a little bit of mood music from Alexis Cole, Social Call from Sky Blossom. Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you.
Happened to pass your doorway, gave you a buzz, that's all. Lately I've thought lots about you, so I thought I'd pay a social call. Do you recall the old days? We used to have a ball. Not that I'm lonesome without you, I just thought I'd pay a social call. I'd lie and say things are just swell, but to tell the truth, I haven't been too well. If you should try and kiss me, I promise that I won't stall. Maybe we'll get back together, starting with this incidental, elemental, simple social call. Starting with this incidental, elemental, simple, so